Yo, what's up, everyone? This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters. Buzzer Beaters is a podcast brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlingsMedia.com, also any popular podcast outlets such as Spotify, YouTube, Pandora, Google, Facebook, X, pretty much anywhere you can find your podcasts, you can go ahead and find us. Just call out Gremlings Media and you will find us, Buzzer Beaters. If this is your first show, hey, we're on episode 31 here, all right? And our intent is to do this live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. But unfortunately, the holidays are kind of upon us. And, you know, it kind of takes away our ability to do live right now. And unfortunately, today we are recording because I had a holiday party for my job, right? So I just got home. We're kind of doing this kind of late. We normally don't do it this late. Tuan and I are going to be lucky if we do an hour, which is probably good for you guys because we're trying to do this within an hour. We've been going over an hour all the time. But, you know, today I think because we're kind of spent a little bit from a long day and we just watched, you know, the NBA Cup knockout rounds, the finals, actually. We got the quarterfinals now. We got into the finals now. We just watched our Warriors lose by 1 point. So that's unfortunate. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and go over a few topics today. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is, of course, the NBA Cup that just happened, right? The knockout rounds. Tuan and I have had a little contest about that. We're going to go ahead and review, you know, kind of the standings on that. And then we also have, we've been doing this throughout the course of the season. We've been doing this kind of rookie analytics, you know, kind of compare, you know, the analytics and which, you know, rookies actually have been standing out from an analytics standpoint, you know, whether it be for points per game, minutes per game, analytics. You know, there's also this rookie ladder that NBA.com has. We're going to compare that to the analytics. This is going to be our third time that we're kind of reviewing this. And we're going to compare it to the second time that we did it and see how it's changed. Then the third thing that we're going to talk about is, you know, we're a quarter of the season into the NBA season. So roughly about almost 2 months into the NBA season. And we're going to go ahead and kind of have our picks. Tuan and I are going to go ahead and make our picks for who we think right now are the leading candidates for the end of the season awards, you know, for the NBA, like, you know, MVP, most improved player, rookie of the year, you know, defensive player of the year, all those end of the season awards. We're going to go ahead and give you where we think these people, you know, which players should be standing out at this point. And then we're going to go ahead and just end it out with kind of what we do every episode is that we have this rookie watch where we drafted these players that are on our team. It's kind of like a fantasy segment, right? Where we kind of review how our teams or our players are doing against each other. And then we're also doing a conference seedings contest where we kind of predicted before the season started where we think every team should be ending up. We have a point system that we have on that. We review it every week and we're going to go ahead and kind of go over where things stand right now. So that's pretty much the agenda for today's episode 31 of Buzzer Beaters. So Tuan, dude, how you been, man? How's everything been, man? What's going on with you, man?
I've been good. You know, just working. No Christmas parties for my company. You're lucky because we're spread out across the U.S. across the world, really. So there's nowhere to have a Christmas party. Maybe a Christmas Zoom. That's what we all need, right? Another Zoom meeting in our lives. I've been good. Heading to L.A.
Yeah, no, I heard, bro. Sorry, man. I know you're going to L.A. for, you know, a funeral for your uncle, right? Yeah, no, I know we talked about this.
A funeral there, so gotta, you know, be there for the family, for my cousin.
Are you flying out there or are you driving,
yeah,
bro?
Yeah, I'm going to fly out tomorrow early evening. And then good thing is my daughter lives out there, so I'll catch some dinner with her and, you know, hang out for an extra day or two and then head on back.
Yeah, dude, I'm sorry to hear that, bro. I know, I get you, man. I'm actually heading out to L.A. this week as well because I'm picking up my daughter from, you know, of course, LMU right here, where's my little thing, LMU right here. It's, you know, she's finishing her first semester at LMU, and she has to get out of her dorm by 5 p.m., man. I don't know, they're pretty strict about getting their students out, you know, because I guess there's summer sessions that are going on, and I guess maybe their dorms are used by people that are going through the summer. But anyway, she has to get out We're picking her up. We're going to go to Disneyland for a few days, and then we're coming back on Monday. We're both driving up. She has a car, so she's going to bring her car up here. We're going to follow her. You know, it's going to be a nice 6-hour drive. We're going to spend some time with her. You know, Patty will go 2 hours with her. I'll go 2 hours with her, and then she'll go 2 hours by herself. She has to kind of get used to going, you know, that long drive by herself. So that, you know, and it's also for us too. You know, it's
been, yeah.
It's always kind of like anytime your kids are driving a long distance, you kind of get a little bit of concern, right? And yeah. We haven't done that yet. We haven't experienced her driving that long of a period by herself. So we're kind of doing baby steps here, man. So, here we are. The holidays are here, bro. I know that, you know, we're probably going to do this podcast live next week. And then that'll probably be our last live one for the year. We're probably ahead and reconvene probably on the 8th of January, which when we'll go ahead and go live again. We're probably going to do recordings, you know, from there, you know, depending on, you know, what our schedules are like, right, during the holiday season. You know, dude, I'm just talking to you, bro. It's right. It's just we're talking. We do this at lunch anyway, so I don't mind kind of doing this on the fly, right? But of course, we have to prepare a little bit too, right? Because we don't want to like kind of just wing everything, right? So
why not? Come on,
yeah. So anyway, bro, let's get into it, man. Let's get into it. So the first thing we're going to talk about, man, is the NBA Cup, right? We just saw the knockout rounds. You know, yesterday was the first two games that happened. It was the Mavs and the Thunder, and then the Magic and the Bucks. The Thunder advanced, you know, from the West, and then the Bucks advanced from the East. And you had the Thunder, I had the Bucks. I had the Thunder, you had the Thunder, then I had the Bucks, and you had the Magic. Right?
I did. Magic let me down, man. I was watching that game closely.
It was, man. And you know, I got to give it to you. The Magic played the Bucks hard. And the thing is, the Magic were missing their two best players.
I didn't realize Franz Wagner was going to be out. I probably would have made a different choice had I known that. But
it just happened, you know. I think when we made these predictions, Franz Wagner was still playing.
He was not on the injury. There was nothing.
But it goes to show you that, you know, Jamal Mosley's got this team playing hard, man.
Yes.
You know, he's been
playing. Suggs looked pretty good in that game. You know,
I agree. He's looking pretty damn good too, man. But you know, but as far as
on a personal tip here, Suggs, what is he? This is his third season.
Let's see. It is finishing his third, I think. Yeah.
He ain't got no more hair, bro. What happened to all the hair? It's going away.
You know, some people weren't blessed with a great hairline, bro. And he's just one of them, I guess. Man, I wasn't blessed with a great hairline. You can see what I had to do hide that I've been thinning my hair. My hair's been thinning, man.
Without giving it away, you're more than twice his age, bro.
Yeah, I know, bro. But
he's a young buck.
He is, man. But hey, you know, there was a guy in my high school, bro. He actually was already going bald, and he was 17, man.
Oh, that's rough.
All right? That is rough. And you know what's funny is I see him today. He looks exactly the same. Like, his hairline hasn't changed. Like, you know, his hair hasn't grown since, like, he was 17 years old. He looks exactly the same, man. It's amazing. But
hair club for men.
Dude, some people are just blessed with great hair follicles, and I unfortunately was not. You are, bro. I mean, dude, that you got yourself a mop head, bro. I mean, that thing is just a do and a half, bro. Yeah. But anyway, so the Thunder advanced into the semifinals on the West.
Thunder looked good.
Yeah, of course, man. And then they're on a defensive side. That team looks really, really good. I mean, that's what they essentially hang their hat on is defense, man. That's what they're known for. And you know, they create offense based on their defense. And that's kind of the way a lot of the teams that are really, really good in the NBA they're defensive minded teams first, and they create offense based on their defense, right? And the Thunder thrive at that. So, and the Magic, you know, even though they didn't win. You know, they're missing their two best players, but Paolo Banchero should be coming back real soon.
Pretty soon,
he's coming back soon. And then you also have Franz Wagner. I don't think his injury is that serious either. He's not going to be out that long. But again, this is a blessing in disguise. You know, the Magic, they're a defensive minded team. You know, you call out Jalen Suggs. He's been playing well. You got the other Wagner brother, Mo Wagner. He's playing well, although he doesn't play as much. You know, but you know, this team just plays connected, and the Magic, you know, they're like the Thunder of the East, man. And but you gotta give it to you, man. The Bucks have kind of revitalized
their season,
man.
They have come back. They have
for sure, man. And And Giannis is right now the leading scorer in the NBA. Chris Middleton is back. You know,
yes, so I think that's the ticket there.
I agree.
They got a third person.
I agree, bro. I agree, man. So, but as far as like, you know, our little NBA Cup standings thing, right? Yeah. All right. So real quick, you and I picked the Thunder in the West for yesterday's game. And then you picked the Magic and I picked the Bucks, right? Yeah. So then we go to today's games and we just saw our Warriors just, you know, totally lose. They were up by 7 points, right? You know, the last, you know, or 8 points, whatever it was in the last, like,
Like three turnovers in a row, and
dude. I mean,
I'm Gary Payton sour puss right now,
dude. I know, but then Gary Payton got that rebound and he tried to pass it. He should have just called a timeout, man.
Yes, he should have called a timeout.
He should have called a timeout. Hey, but it's all right, you know. It's
Houston couldn't hit the ocean from a boat with their shooting, bro. And then they just gave him two free throws, and that's it.
But you know, the thing is that they're making careless mistakes, man. Right? They're horrible at turning the ball over. It's always been kind of their thing, man. But, you know, they're still in games, man. And then, you know, they kind of do boneheaded fouls, right? This is kind of like the theme of their season, right?
Yeah.
They started out at like a 12-3 or something like that, right? And then they kind of lost five in a row. Then they've been kind of playing 500. But it's all kind of because of the way that they're losing. They're losing it. They're always ahead. And then they lose it, right? So there's been all this conversation about, okay, all these trade, you know, conversations that are kind of taking place right now. I mean, you got Shams, who's actually talking about potential trade targets for the Warriors. You hear Vucevic, you hear Jimmy Butler, you hear LeBron James.
They're interested in the three guys over in Brooklyn.
In the Nets. Nets. Yeah. So, these conversations are happening, right? I mean, I think right now the Warriors, as we talked about in the previous podcast, they're showcasing some of their guys, right? Because they need these guys to perform in order to win. But in case they can't win, they're showcasing it for other GMs, right? Yeah. So we know that Jonathan Kuminga has been playing very well as of late, right? But Jemski's been a little bit of yo-yo up and down. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis, he's been kind of a little bit up and down as well. Moses
hit a little bit of a wall, I think.
Yeah, they're both hit a wall, right? But Kuminga's definitely doing some work, man. I think, you know, he was my call for most improved player of the year, right? We'll review that, you know, as one of the segments in this podcast. But, you know, there's definitely been some talk, and this is not just made up. There's definitely conversations going on. And I think that they're just kind of the next 2 weeks is going to determine what the Warriors are going to do, man. And you know, they have to fix something because, you know, I don't say as talented because they're not talented, but as hardworking of a team they are from a defensive standpoint, they make too many stupid mistakes, man. And I don't know if that's a basketball IQ thing or they're just completely careless. Because, you know, Curry, man, he's careless with the ball, dude. Let's just face it, he is. He does. Yep. He does make stupid boneheaded mistakes. But he does so much on the offensive end, you kind of just like, okay.
Dude, you have to. But Draymond at times, too, is forcing things that aren't there, you know. And there was a game where – what was the game where Draymond and Curry were both out? Was that against Houston, the last game?
Yeah, that's when Wiggins –
Yep, and I think that game they had like six or seven turnovers total.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude.
And you know, and it got me kind of thinking, you know, like it not so much to pin it on Steph and Draymond, but, you know, is there like style, the way they kind of run around the court and kind of be a little lackadaisical, is that kind of impacting the other guys and making them be a little bit more risk-taking or
It's possible, careless, man. You know? I don't know. But you're right. It's interesting that the two most – turnover prone guys were missing from that game against the Rockets, and they committed the least amount of turnovers, you know, for quite some time. And then, you know, you're thinking, oh man, okay, they've unleashed Wiggins and Kuminga, and you know, Kuminga had like 33 points, I think, that game. And then, you know, there always was the talk about whether the Wiggins and Kuminga could play together, but in that game, they showed that they could play together. And then you reintroduce, you know, the two Hall of Famers, right? And then they kind of regress again, man. From a turnover standpoint, right? So you know, bottom line is it seems to me that there's going to be some kind of change if the Warriors continue losing the way that they have been, because it's been the same kind of story that we're reading is that they're way ahead, and then they kind of do stupid fouls, stupid, you know, turnovers, and they can't make free throws. It's the same story, bro, and that's how they're losing these games, man. So, anyway.
Well,
man,
you
so,
know, if they do trade, and I'm just hopeful they don't – I'm on the fence whether they trade for, like, an older player. You know, I don't
like a Jimmy Butler, right?
Jimmy Butler. I don't know if I want a LeBron.
LeBron.
You know, because if we pick up those players, we're going to lose Kuminga. And to me, I don't want to lose Kuminga for someone we're going to have a season or two, and then that's it.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But, you know, the one trade that I heard that seems to be probably the most doable, but it means that they're probably going to keep pretty much everybody intact that they have right now, is I heard that the expiring contract of DeAnthony Melton could be swapped out for someone like a Dennis Schroeder, right?
I think that's a good move. We talked about
I think so too.
They need a point guard. They need someone who can run.
I think so too. Yeah. But what that means is that they're staying pat with everybody else. And
yeah, if they can do that, I'm down with that. You know,
and you know, I guess the salaries kind of work out. So, and I don't mind Dennis Schroeder as a backup point guard, you know, to Steph. Kind of because he's been in that role for most of his career. He's just starting right now because Brooklyn Nets don't really have, you know, anybody else from a point guard standpoint, right? But, you know, Brooklyn Nets have some decent talent. I mean, they're not like superstar talent, but they're good rotational pieces.
Yeah, it's a good piece. Yeah.
Yeah. So, a little bit.
Well, and I don't want to get too excited, but read an article today about Jared Allen and how he is sort of regressing is the wrong word. His impact is being less and less
than it
has been historically.
Right.
And I'm kind of leading a little bit here into one of our other segments, but a lot of it has to do with the growth of Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
And so that maybe Cleveland should consider trading him out. And you know from the offseason, that was a guy I was like,
that was the guy you wanted.
I'll give up Kuminga for him. Yeah. Like, let's do it. Like yesterday.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah. So, Just an interesting little article. We'll see what that means. You know, obviously, Cleveland is like the top team in the East. I don't know if they need to do anything or should do anything. But, you know, if they're kind of building or, you know, trying to tinker a little bit here and there to tweak it, then, hell, I'd take Jared Allen in a minute.
Dude, I would, too. I would, too, man. But, all right, so, you know, with respect to the NBA knockout rounds, right?
Yeah.
I picked the Warriors. You picked the Rockets. So you get 3 points for that, right? So, and then we both, believe it or not, dude, the Knicks lost.
Yeah, I can't.
Lost at home to the team that we had talked about last week as an up-and-coming surprise team, right? Yeah. The Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are on a roll right now, man. It's amazing. They are playing very well. And, you know, their metrics doesn't show that they should be playing this well, but they are. They're a pretty deep team, man. And, you know, Trae Young has become kind of a facilitator more than a scorer now. Jalen Johnson's kind of guy who's been emerging as their kind of lead guy from a scoring standpoint. You have Bogdanovich, who's kind of like a guy who can score off the bench. You have Reese Arshay, your boy, who's been playing as a starter. He's been playing decent. You have Clint Capella, who's, you know, he's playing well. You got Okongwu playing well. You have what's this guy's name? He's a guy from Virginia. I forgot his name. Anyway, he's been playing well. But anyway, so this team has been kind of a surprise, man. Like we talked about last week, and they took out a team that's a lot better than them, at least, you know, from all analytics standpoint, right?
Yeah. Jalen Johnson had himself a hell of a game. Right? He had like, I want to say like 18 or 19 rebounds, 20 something points. You know, a couple blocks, a couple steals. He had himself a hell of a game. And you know, one thing to note. You know, I don't know what it means, but Atlanta beat Cleveland in Cleveland, Boston in Boston, and New York in New York, right? As part of this kind of cup series. Right. And I'm like, damn. Like, you know, that's pretty impressive. And we'll see what comes of it. But, you know, you and I were kind of second-guessing them during the offseason for trading DeJounte Murray as opposed to the point guard there. But maybe they made the right choice. I don't know. I mean, they're starting to gel. Things are starting to come together, you know, with Trae Young there. But, we'll see.
I hear you, man. And so they're a surprise, man. So anyway, we both picked the Knicks there. So we both don't get points, right? So out of the knockout round, since we said that each win would count for 3 points, right?
Yep.
You and I both got 6 points out of the knockout rounds. All right, in the group play, you got 7 points, I got 9 points. So right now the score is 15 me, 13 you. Okay. Now we're gonna go ahead and pick for the next round. Okay. So we have the Thunder. They're gonna go ahead and play the Rockets, and they're hosting the Rockets. So who do you pick there, man?
Oh, that's easy. I'm taking the Thunder.
So am I.
Yeah.
All right. Easy. And then as far as the East, you have the Bucks versus the Hawks. Now it looks like the Hawks are gonna be hosting the Bucks.
I'll take the Hawks.
I'm taking the Bucks. All right, man. So there you have it. And we're going to go ahead and make those 4 points now, right?
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and do that. So so we'll see. We'll go ahead and check back up, check back into this the next week, man. So anything else you want to talk about on the NBA Cup before we move on?
No, I mean, the only thing I wanted to mention was, you know, Oklahoma's coming together and, you know, they still don't have Chet Holmgren. They're going to be scary if they figure this thing out, how to play everyone.
I know.
I mean, no one's going to stop them scary. Like, they're going to win the whole thing. They're a tough squad. They are a tough squad.
They play very tenacious defense, man. Yeah. And that's the thing, dude, is like I said earlier, defense, the teams that are doing, that do very well are the ones that are very defensive minded and create offense based on the defense. Yeah. And these guys are kind of notorious for it. Boston Celtics are another team that's kind of notorious for doing it. You know, the Warriors are good at it too, but they make stupid freaking mistakes, right? And that's the difference. Those two teams, the Celtics and the Thunder, they don't make as many stupid mistakes as the Warriors. And that's the reason why the Warriors are in that echelon yet, right? They can be, you know, maybe they might need a trade to get there, but they have the prowess from a defensive standpoint to be an issue. But these teams right here, Thunder and Boston, they're definitely the cream of the crop.
So question for you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Who, in your mind, who's the better Thunder team? This team or the Kevin Durant, James Harden, Prime Russell, Westbrook, you know, Serge Ibaka, that crew?
This team is deeper, man. They play defense. They play better defense than that team back then. The other team was more offensive oriented.
Yeah.
They are good defensively, but not as good as this team. This team is definitely hangs their hat on defense. You can see it. And what's cool about these guys, man, is that you never see these guys interviewed. One person's interviewed at one time. They always kind of go together, man, which is kind of a cool thing, man.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
They want to talk to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the whole team shows up, right?
Yeah.
They're all there kind of hanging out, talking, you know, just supporting whoever's being interviewed. And therefore, you know, everybody else gets a chance to talk sometimes. And I think that's cool, man. I think that's cool. So I like their vibe. It's hard not to like those guys, man. Honestly,
I agree. There's no one in there that really rubs me the wrong way or anything. I like them. I think, you know, even though the Warriors were the benefactor of getting Durant, you know, I always felt for the people of Oklahoma. You know, as a lifelong Warrior fan, we've lost a lot of players. You know, like Chris Webber and, you know, things of that nature. You know, Bernard King, if you go as way back as we do. But
yeah.
But you know, I've always felt kind of, you know, like, you know, I wouldn't mind them winning. You know, I think they're a good fan base. I think the GM there is magnificent, Sam Presti, right? Yep. And I just think that, you know, if they won, I'd be okay with that. Like, I'd have zero problem. Unless, of course, they're playing the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. But outside of that, yeah, zero problem with them winning. I like them.
Yeah, and I hear you, bro. I hear you, man. So, all right, man. So let's go on to the next thing, the Ricky analytics.
Yes.
All right. So, so cool, man. We can probably blow that up, see if you can zoom that in a little bit.
Yep. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, you can get rid of. Yeah, there we go. Maybe, is that probably, that's, yeah, you can probably scroll that down a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe scroll out just a little bit more. I think that's, that's good. I mean, maybe a little bit more.
But out or in?
No, zooming in. Yeah, I guess we'll just deal with it right there. That's good, because then we can see the little ribbon on the left where it shows all the slides. You can't hide that, huh?
Let me see here.
If you can't, no worries, man. I don't want to mess it up. But yeah, if you can't, yeah, you can. There we go, man. We're good.
All right, there we go.
All right, man. So we're going to our rookie analytics. So we have covered this. This is actually our third time during the season that we've gone over this. And, you know, what we've done is kind of look at some analytics. And, you know, what I did is, you know, there are some slides here that we put together here that kind of covers, you know, the comparison of the rankings that we had in episode 27, which happened in November 14th, which yep. is the one on the right, compared to the where things stand right now as of today, December 11th, right? So yep. In looking at the top 10 in minutes played, you can see the what you see here is on the left column. Bub Carrington is number one. And what I want to show you are the numbers that you're seeing here. 28.6 is how many minutes he is playing per game, right?
Which is down, yeah.
Right, which is down by 1.5 minutes. That's what that red parentheses at the very end tells you, is how many minutes that is down from the last time, right? So you can see 30.1 is what he had from episode 27, and now you're at 28.6, so that's 1.5 minutes down from last time.
Okay.
But the parentheses after the 28.6 tells you how much he has moved from the rankings of last time. And yep. he hasn't moved, right? He's still number one.
Number one then, and he's number one now.
Right. So that's right. That's what that parentheses after the minutes showing is what it's showing, is how he's changed his ranking since the last episode, right? So yep. you can see that Stephon Castle, his minutes have gone up. So now he's now gone up five steps, right? He went from number seven to number two. Now yep. in minutes played, right? So you can see, and he's the guy that's on my team. Then you can yep. see Alex Sarr is another guy. He's number three in minutes played right now, and he's up by 1.5 minutes.
Also, so that's what you can team.
Say it again.
I said also on your team.
Exactly. Also on my team, right? But then you can see here that, you know, Jared McCain, okay, he's the number yep. five guy. You can yes. see he wasn't on the list before, okay? And then also your boy Dalton Kennett at number eight, he yep. also was not on the list before. Then correct. The very last guy, Tristan Da Silva, he's also a new entrant that wasn't on the list.
No, he's number five in the previous, Eddie.
Oh, I might have messed that up. Let me see.
Yeah.
I did mess that up. So, yeah, he is on there. Thank you for yep. pointing that out. So, but anyway, so you can see kind of the things, how it's changed. Jared McCain right now is kind of considered the guy who's the leader right now in terms of, you know, the subjective kind of way of looking at things as the rookie of the year right now, right? Jared yeah. McCain is, but you know, you can see he's not the most on the minutes played, you know. So he's definitely moving up the ranks because he's definitely becoming way more efficient from an offensive standpoint. So, but what's interesting here is that, okay, your boys, Dalton Kennett, Zachary Recharge, they're number eight and number nine. My sure. boy, Zach Edey, is nowhere to be seen here because
he's hurt. Off the list. He's been hurt.
He's on the list because he's been hurt. It's Philip Paskey. He's another guy that's on your team. He's off the list, right?
Yep.
And then, of course, my guy, Cody Williams, he's still in the G League, man. So
yeah, and I read two things, you know, just one was Zach Edey. They're not happy with his rehab or the way he's kind of, you know, getting better. So they're going to leave him in the G League a little longer than they had anticipated. And then Cody Williams he's hurting in the G League right now. He's not doing pretty good. You know, he's hit something. Something's happened to that dude. And right now, not so good.
I know, man.
Those are the two guys that were on the list that are no longer on the list that are replaced by Dalton Kennett and Jared McCain.
Yeah, man. Totally, man. So, all right. So go on to the next slide, bro. Let's go to the next slide is going to be the points per game, top 10, right? Again, there are the rankings from the episode 27, which is almost about a month ago, right? And we want to see how it's changed from this time, right? So you can see here, and you know what? I just noticed that I made some mistakes here, but not a big deal. I mean, I should have omitted on the right side all of the different up, you know, how it's like green and all that
stuff.
I should have taken that off, right? But I just wanted to go ahead and show you the rankings on the right compared to the rankings where they're at right now on the left. So you can see that Jared McCain, okay, he has moved up now to number one in points per game, okay? Stephon Castle, all right, he's up six because he was number eight last time. He's now number two. He's now at 12.1, okay? He's up 3.6 points per game from last time. Your boy Zachary Recharge, all right? He wasn't on the list before, Or he was on the list before. See, that I messed up here, man, so my bad. But anyway, right, Zachary Richarcé, he's actually come down from the last time, right? So I should have put that. He's come down. Right?
Yeah, point one.
Yeah, right. But you can see here that the guys that have dropped, right, in from last time, Tristan Da Silva, he's no longer on the rankings for this time, for the December rankings.
Which is interesting because Pablo Banquero got hurt, and you figured Da Silva would get more opportunity.
He would be the beneficiary of that, right?
That's a little interesting.
That is interesting, right? Yeah. And so he fell off this list. And the other guy is Ryan Dunn. Ryan Dunn, who was the 10th last time, he's not on the list right now in points per game, right? So it's interesting to see that as the season progresses, how this is shifting. Zach Edey is still there, and he hasn't played in like 10 games, dude. All right. But yet he's number five. All right.
And then what's interesting is number nine, Bob Carrington, who leads all rookies in minutes, has actually dropped 0.4 in his average. So he's actually getting worse, even though he's got the most minutes of anybody out there.
Right. Right. So it's interesting, man. So, all right. So let's go to the next one. So you have now the overall statistics, right?
Yep.
So see, now you see how I cleaned it up on the rankings from episode 27. I don't have the up and down. I forgot to clean it up on the last one. I'll go ahead and clean it up for the next time, audience. But anyway, you can see that from an analytics standpoint, this is kind of the fantasy perspective. Like, you know, you kind of put some weighing on the rebounds, the assists, the blocks, the steals, the turnovers, right? But if you look at the overall statistical rankings from an analytics standpoint, Donovan Klingon is actually the most efficient rookie according to analytics right now. All right. Now he has moved up 5 points from last time because he was number six, right? Zach Edey, believe it or not, is number two. And the guy hasn't even played 10 games, right? But just kind of on a game per game basis, he's still kind of up there from what he does in the game, right? He does a lot of things. Yeah. Alex Sarr, right? He's another one, number three. He's down one because he was number two last time, but he's still statistically speaking kind of considered a big contributor. But what's interesting is that the top four guys in this rankings on the left side, they're all centers. Okay, you have Klingon as a center. You have Zach Edey as a center. Alex Sarr, who's a kind of a power forward slash center, but he's kind of a center type. And then Ease Missy is another center, right? So it goes to show you that, you know, centers are back, man, especially if you do all the dirty work, which all of these guys do pretty well, right, for the most part, right? But Jared McCain, there you go. Jared McCain, who's kind of the consensus, you know, kind of rookie of the year guy right now, he's number five from an analytics standpoint, which is interesting.
Eddie, was on the previous slides, was Donovan Klingon in that those lists?
No, okay. He was not. That's what's interesting. He was not, okay?
So basically what we're seeing is that obviously the way we're measuring rookies is strictly on offense, their offensive ability.
Correct. This is overall. This is everything, right?
Yeah. Oh, yep.
But you can see that I highlighted two in yellow, right? And that's I just want to highlight them as new entrants right here. Dalton Connect, he was your boy. He's now new. He wasn't on the list last time, all right? Stephon Castle wasn't on the list last time.
Your guy, right? Yep.
So this is in a month's time frame. And you're
Bogbo, who hasn't shown up on any list up until this point.
Correct. But he was on the statistical one last time because he was number eight last time, but he's now dropped to number 10. But, you know, Jalen Wells, he's kind of stayed around the same. He's at eight. Zachary Richarcé, he wasn't on the current list right now, so he dropped off, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Zachary Richarcé dropped off, and then also Keyshawn George was also another person who dropped off. So it's interesting, man. So if we go to the next slide, you can see the subjective thing. Oh, man, one of those it's all right, man, no bigs. So you can see that I kind of looked at the rankings of NBA.com, of the most recent rankings which happened last a week ago from today. Jared McCain is number one, right? Stephon Castle is number two. Jalen Wells, number three, all the way down. But what I wanted to go ahead and show you how it compares to what we just showed in the previous slide, the analytics.
Well, analytics,
right? So Donovan Klingon is number one. He's nowhere seen on that rankings from NBA.com. Correct. Zach Edey. He's number eight.
Not only is he number one, he's doing it where not even in the top 10 minutes.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. But this goes to show you that that guy does a lot to, you know, to he does a lot from a statistical standpoint, right?
Yep.
Alex Saar, he is number three on the analytics, but he's number seven. I tend to think he should be higher than number seven, honestly. I think he's been one of the better guys from a rookie standpoint.
And he has the notoriety of being the first pick. You'd think he'd get a little more.
Two pick, yeah, second pick. Yeah, yeah. He's the top two pick. Yeah. Zachary Richarche is number one, number one pick. But you can see Zachary Richarche appears on this one, but doesn't appear on the analytics one, which is interesting, right? Yeah. So this is, again, very, very subjective. It's very mostly offensive minded is when these rankings are made, right?
Same as Tristan Da Silva doesn't show up in the analytics at all.
But right. So you can see, like, you know, the pictures that I have there, those are the guys that I have that at the very top. They're all the guys that the pictures that you're seeing on the bottom are the guys that are number one, right, for each of these lists, right? Yep. So anyway, that I just wanted to go ahead and share. We're going to go ahead and continue doing these, you know, on a regular basis.
I like it.
Because it kind of shows you kind of how things shift around, and I compare it from the previous rankings, right? Although I'm going to clean it up. Like I said, I kind of made some mistakes, but I'll clean it up for next time. But you can kind of see how things move. And it's going to be interesting to see at the very end of the season, you know, if the rankings, the subjective rankings, you know, how it compares to the analytics. It's going to be interesting, right?
It is. Goes to show you popularity contest versus actual numbers. And I'm going to be curious to kind of track Bub Carrington because he's been dropping and dropping. I'm curious if when we do the next one, if he'll even be in the top 10 anything. Well, maybe minutes.
You know, probably minutes. He's getting a shot, man, because the Wizards are the worst team in the NBA right now, man. They have the worst record in the NBA. So, you know, hey, good for the organization to kind of showcase who they drafted, right? All these guys are going to get a shot, right? Yeah. Alex Saar, Keyshawn George, and then Bub Carrington. Those are the three picks. They're getting a lot of time. They're getting a lot of time to develop. Hey, you know, let's see what happens. I mean, he has every opportunity, Bub Carrington, to be rookie of the year for sure, right?
He does. It's just
that he's on a crappy team. But the Sixers are not necessarily the best team either. And then you got freaking Jared McCain as number one. And the Sixers, you know, are still kind of bottom dwellers right now. I mean, they're going to make their way back up, but they're in the bottom.
We'll see. I mean, they've got their backcourt of the future. I'll tell you that much.
With Tyrese Maxey and Jared McCain.
Right now they've got their backcourt. You know, the front court, I don't know. We're going to see, but they got their backcourt.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Stephon Castle's number one, man. Honestly, that dude looks good, man. He looks like a really good player, man. So, but anyway, we shall see. All right, man. Any other thoughts or things before we move on to the next segment?
No. Thanks for putting this together. Like I said, I like it. I like looking at the stats. This is my favorite one, this comparing the actual numbers versus
the analytics,
what the NBA is ranking. Yeah. And, you know, like Donovan Clingan gets no love. I mean, he's not a starter. He's coming off the bench, you know, but like he should be in the top 10 of NBA.com somewhere, you know, should be
exactly. But he's not an offensive player. He's not a sexy pick, right?
It kind of
goes to show you how these voters kind of vote, right?
Yeah.
Based on shine, man. Like, who's who's,
you know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of guilty of it myself. I was kind of surprised to see him up there because when I see him, I'm like, yeah, he's all right. You know, he's just all right. But then you start putting the numbers together and you're like, no, he's a little better than just all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
All right, man. So let's go on to the next one. So, Tuan and I, like I said, we made some predictions in the beginning of this season. We're going to the court. We're going to do that at the end. We'll do the rookie watch thing at the end.
Okay.
We'll come back to this one. This one, you can just go ahead and remove that, and then we're going to have this as an open discussion. All right. So now, you know, at the beginning of the year, Tuan and I went ahead and made some predictions on the end of season awards. You know, we last year's winners, we had Nikola Jokic, who was the MVP. Tyrese Maxey was the most improved player. You had Rudy Gobert, who's a four-time defensive player of the year. And then you had rookie of the year is Victor Wembanyama. Sixth man was Naz Reid. And then coach of the year was Mark Daigneault, right? Those were last year's picks. So Tuan and I made some predictions at the beginning of the year, and we're going to go ahead and review those first, and then we're going to go ahead and kind of make our where we think, you know, who should be kind of getting the awards if the season ended today, right?
Yeah.
So, so your predictions from last time, what you have for the beginning of the season, the MVP that you selected was Luka Doncic.
I did.
Okay? Then you also had most improved player, Jalen Williams, which I think is a very good pick, man.
All right? It is. For sure.
Defensive player of the year was Victor Wembanyama, right? And then rookie of the year was Zach Edey. And, you know, he still could, but he's missing a lot of time, and we'll see if he comes back. Sixth man, you had Dante DiVincenzo, which is a sneaky pick. Yeah. And then you had coach of the year, Mark Daigneault, who won it last year, right? So I don't know if it's not common that that happens, but hey, it could happen, right? Then the predictions that I had is that I had Jason Tatum as the MVP. Then I had Jonathan Kuminga as most improved player. It's kind of a stretch, but he is getting better, right? But we shall see. Defensive player of the year, I had Victor Wembanyama. Rookie of the year was Zach Edey, which is both those two match up exactly with you. Then sixth man, I had Benedict Mathurin of the Indiana Pacers, but now he's been kind of put into the starting lineup, so I'm kind of screwed for that one, right?
Yeah.
And then coach of the year, I had Steve Kerr. All right. Now, that's a sneaky pick because, you know, he's kind of having to manage like a 12-man rotation right now, right? And the Warriors are actually doing better than a lot of people thought. But, of course, they're making stupid mistakes and, you know, they're kind of, you know, should be better than they are, but they're not. Anyway, so now takes us to where if the season ended today,
yes,
who we think should be the picks. So
yeah,
let's go ahead and work our way back. We'll go start with coach of the year and then work our way back up to MVP. All right.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Coach of the year, who would you say are some of the guys that stand out to you? You can, if you want, you can only pick one, but like if there are more than one.
Yeah, so immediately the guy who jumps ahead of everyone, and it's obvious, is Kenny Atkinson, right?
For sure. So, I agree.
You know, he's got, you know, got the best team in the NBA right now, record-wise, in the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think he's doing a fantastic job. Another one that stands out, to me at least, I think Steve Kerr also still stands out. I know the Warriors have been in a little bit of a slump, but you know, he's managing quite a bit of pieces. Steph is out of the lineup. I think he's doing well. The other one that kind of is sort of my surprise pick is Ty Lue over in the Clippers. I think
that's a sneaky pick.
Yeah, okay. I think that, you know, he deserves some consideration. I mean, you know, I didn't have them doing anything, you know, because Kawhi is out and, you know, Norman Powell is having a hell of a season. You know, they're a very defensive squad, even though their lead player doesn't play defense at all in James Harden, you know? Yep. And so I think he's doing a pretty good job. So those would be kind of my kind of overall picks, but I would lean heavily on Kenny Atkinson right now. I think.
With you too, bro. I had Kenny Atkinson right now as my number one guy. The second guy that I would have on that list would be Taylor Jenkins of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Good call.
Just because that team has actually done a lot better than I think I thought. And you thought they were going to be kind of coming back, and they have. And he's done a pretty good job in getting that team. You know, they're like the top three seed right now, right? So, and then the third guy that I had on there that, you know, we talked about earlier, especially because his team made it in the knockout round and actually almost beat a Bucks team, and that's Jamal Mosley of the Orlando Magic. I think he's done a fantastic job considering that Paolo Banchero is out. He's been out for a while.
Yeah,
and that team is still playing very well, right? And then you have Franz Wagner, who's only, you know, I don't know how long he's going to be out, but they still have, you know, a bunch of guys that are not star power guys still competing with a team like the Bucks. That's impressive, man. So, all right. So we both agree Kenny Atkinson's probably the lead person if the season ended today. All right, let's go to sixth man.
I do like your call on the Orlando Magic coach as well. That's a good
one. Jamal, yeah, for sure. He's been playing well, man. So, all right, sixth man. Let me ask you that. Who would you say right now are the guys that stand out to you from a sixth man standpoint?
For me, you know, I haven't watched a lot of games, but I've been, you know, watching some of the numbers. And Peyton Pritchard over in Boston
has for sure. He's on my list too, man.
Yeah, he's been doing really well as the sixth man. Who else? I'm trying to think. You know, DiVincenzo's been. I still think he's been doing okay. But I think right now I would stick with Pritchard as the guy. I don't have.
Yeah, my guys are Monk and Peyton Pritchard. And then I'd probably put Naz Reid because he's last year's champ. I would probably put him at number three. So right now, it'd be Malik Monk first to me, Peyton Pritchard second, and then I would probably put Naz Reid third for right now. So, okay. But yeah, we both had Peyton Pritchard as well, and I think he'd get a lot of votes if the season ended today because he has definitely played very well. All right, yeah. Rookie of the year, man. We just went over the
I mean, at this point, right? I got to lean towards Jared McCain. You know, he's
okay.
He's the highlight of a crappy Philadelphia 76ers team. You know, a team that you could argue has reason to kind of play less enthusiastic. He's making the most of his opportunity, you know, so I'm kind of leaning towards Jared McCain. I know we were talking about the numbers and the stats and everything, but, you know, I right now I would say that Jared McCain is probably my front runner for rookie of the year.
Okay. All right. I have Alex Sarr. Alex Sarr, okay. I think, is the guy that, in my opinion, has stood out from an overall standpoint, not just from an offensive standpoint. Jared McCain has definitely stepped up from an offensive standpoint for a team that is struggling, but Alex Sarr has definitely done the same thing on a team that's struggling, but they're definitely a lot worse than the Sixers. The Sixers should be emerging soon if they can get Embiid and Paul George to play together along with Tyrese Maxey and Jared McCain. I mean, that's a pretty formidable team once they all kind of come together. But another guy that I actually put on there is Dalton Knecht, your boy, man.
Okay.
Dalton Knecht. I think he's been playing pretty well, man. He's been kind of in and out of the starting lineup, so I would
put him there. He is on a high-profile team. One guy that I would also mention is Stephon Castle. I think Stephon Castle has been
playing
better as the season has been going. I think, you know, he's got a lot of upside in terms of, you know, he's in that classic mold that you and I have talked about where he comes out as a defensive guy and then works on his offense. And you and I have been, you know, proponents of that being an easier formula than the other way around, right? An offensive guy tries to turn into a defensive guy. That never seems to work. You know, it's funny. I look at it kind of like actors, you know, like I always find that comedians can play any role, but serious actors can never play comedy. You know, it's just like, you know, it's so I look at kind of comedy as the defense of acting. But anyway, just brought that up because that's kind of what comes to mind.
Right on, man. That's a good one, man. Good one, man. Yeah. All right, man. So, all right. So let's go. We got three more awards. Okay. We have Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm sticking with Wembanyama. That was my pick. That's still
me too,
my
man. I think that's going to be a no-brainer. I think he's the guy. But another guy, another two guys I kind of want to call out. Your boy Jalen Williams, okay?
Yes.
He's actually the highest-rated defensive-rated guy in the NBA right now, believe it or not. All right?
Okay.
Jalen Williams is actually, from a defensive rating standpoint, individually, he's the highest defensive-rated guy in the NBA right now. Wembanyama, I think, was like number six, all right? So, but Victor Wembanyama's, you know, he does all the flashy stuff. So he's going to get probably a lot more votes than Jalen Williams. Another guy that I'll kind of put out is he's on the same team, Lou Dort. Lou Dort, did you see him play a defense?
I agree. Lou Dort, that dude he's what I call a nice bully. You know,
big like, time, man.
A bully, but he's not a jerk. You know, he's just.
But dude, I mean, he's like Dylan Brooks in how he plays D, but Dylan Brooks is kind of a punk. Whereas Lou Dort isn't, right? He's actually putting a lot of effort. He's a Latino, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
I like him more now.
Yeah. So I think he's I think he's Dominicano. I think I'm almost positive he is. So but anyway, but did you see him play a defense against Luka Doncic, dude? In the play-in, dude. I'm like, or the NBA Cup, dude. Yeah. He was causing problems, dude.
I think the first half, Doncic had like 4 points and a rebound or something.
Yeah. It's all because of him.
But the thing is,
you got three guys on that team that are like elite defensively. You got Jalen Williams, you got Lou Dort, and then you got also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Okay.
Yep. And you put Chet Holmgren and Hartenstein.
That's what I'm saying. Defensive minded. And then you got that Cason Wallace, dude. That Cason Wallace is a defensive like fiend too. So it's like, man, they have a bunch of guys that are just very they hang their hat on defense, man. And I like that, man. I like teams that are like that, man.
That I throw in there is, you know, one of my all-time favorites is Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. over at Memphis. I think he's been playing well defensively as well. I mean, that dude's a good shot blocker, good, you know. So just
Defensive guy. Hey, and Michigan State guys, they play D, man. So,
yes, they do. Yeah, yes, they do.
Right. So
speaking of Michigan State guys, whatever happened to our boy Valentine? Remember Valentine that came out of
Denzel Valentine. You know, I don't think he's in the league anymore. I think he's out.
Damn, I thought he was gonna do pretty good.
I did too, man, but he's not in the league anymore. I think you know, another guy who's Michigan State is kind of, you know, Gary Harris. He's another guy from Michigan State. I'm trying to think of other guys that are kind of like from that. I forgot. Those are the guys that stand out to me. It's Triple J, Draymond Green, Gary Harris. Yeah. I'm sure there are others, but I just don't remember them.
Magic didn't play no D, so they must have not been coaching D back in 79 or whatever.
Yeah. So, but it's a Rizzo. It's all Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is the guy.
That was pre Tom Izzo.
Wasn't coaching Magic back then. That's probably why.
Tom Izzo was like 6 years old back then, I think.
Yeah. All right, man. So let's go to the final two. We have a most improved player, man. Yes. Who would you say are some of the guys that stand out to you from that? You know, who
two
would you
guys
say
that stand out to me. One is I touched on him earlier, and that was Evan Mobley.
Yep, he's on my list too.
That dude is like boom. Fantastic. The other guy that I think really stepped up when Banchero went out was Franz Wagner.
So that's who I have too. Franz. Yeah, I have Franz Wagner first, Evan Mobley second.
Okay.
So yeah, you have Evan Mobley first.
I like that kid. I mean, I like the way he plays. I like the way he moves. I just think if that kid can put on not even that much, another 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah.
Forget it. It's over.
Yeah.
Over. He's kind of making
Jared Allen expendable right now, man. So
it is. And if he's expendable, I'll sign up. Warriors will take him. Give him to me.
Anybody else that stand out from the?
No, those are the two that really stood out to me.
Okay, I agree with you on those two. But another guy that I'll throw out there who's been playing very well is Brandon Miller for the Charlotte Hornets. Kid from Alabama, 6'10", a small forward. He's definitely emerged as a player. He started showing out last year, but he's definitely brought it up a notch this year, and he's definitely playing very, very well. He's showing that he can carry the offensive load for a team. Right now he's probably considered the second best player on that team. LaMelo Ball is probably considered the best player on that team right now.
Yeah.
But this guy's a close second, right? So yeah. I want to kind of throw out that he's definitely.
Yeah. And my original pick is still in the running too. Jalen Williams, obviously we talked about him, he's my original pick.
He's definitely in there. I probably put him more defensive player of the year more than that, but he'd get some votes for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And you and I are going to have a little contest on this to see who gets the most votes, right? Based on our predictions in the beginning of the season. All right, so last category, MVP, man. Who are the guys that stand out to you right now if the season ends today?
Season ended today, there's two guys that stand out. One is obviously Jokic. He's been playing like a beast. The other one now, as of late, they're up and coming. You mentioned him earlier. He's leading the NBA in scoring, and that's Giannis.
I have those guys as one and two right now.
Yeah. For sure. I would put Jokic as one and Antetokounmpo as two.
That's right. That's what I have as well. Yeah. I have that too.
And Jokic he's incredible, dude. He's incredible.
He is. He is. And, dude, you know what's so crazy is that he's the highest three-point percentage guy in the NBA right now, man.
What's his – how many shooting per game, though? He's got to be like under five, three? Right? It's got to be but five
still,
or less.
It's like he's still the highest percentage three-point shooter in the NBA, man. All right? And you watch that guy shoot like down low, everything he throws up is going in, dude. Yeah. It's crazy.
And he's got this behind the head shot, that you can't even really block.
Yeah, dude. It's tough, man. He's got that Jack Sigma kind of look, man.
Exactly. Sigma. Thank you. Double hand, ugly Tim Hardaway
it's
double
like,
ball.
It's like Jack Sigma, Jamal Wilkes kind of
exactly, oh, dude. Man, like damn, did Denver ever score getting him? Dude.
Oh, I did. They
Holy
did.
Crap.
Yeah, he's amazing, dude. He is amazing. All right, anybody else? I had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's number three.
Yes, I would. Yeah, I would throw Shai Gilgeous in there. Who I wouldn't throw in there right now is Luka, who was my pick right now. I think he's out of the top 10 if I had to start, nitpicking.
No, I agree. I agree, man. All right.
Who'd you pick for MVP? I forgot. Who'd you pick for MVP?
For the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
I had a Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. And he's going to get some votes, man. I mean, he's going to get some votes. Yeah. So we're going to just kind of – who gets the most votes out of all our players?
But I think his – he's got the – remember that old Durant-Curry argument? You're splitting votes. You're going to be splitting votes between him and Jalen Brown.
I agree, man.
He really does fight him for, leader of the team.
For sure.
They kind of go back and forth on that squad, which I think is one of the things that makes them so deep and good. That you can't focus on one or the other, but it also hurts them for awards and notoriety.
Dude, it's almost 10:15 at night, dude. It's okay. Yeah, we can say these words. It's not slip. It's not coming out easily, man.
Notoriety.
Yeah, notoriety.
Yeah, whatever, man. Oh my goodness.
All right, bro. So that ends that segment. So now we're going to our last segment, which is the segment we always end, and that's our rookie watch and conference seating standings. So yes, you can go ahead and put that, the spreadsheet up there. Yep. Go into the first one and the first tab, which is the rookie. All right, so you can scroll over and make that a little bit bigger too, just so that everybody can see. There we go. All right, man. So now what you can see here is that my team right now, okay, my team has 1,840.4 points.
God is catching up.
Exactly. You have 1,710 points, right? So yes, you can see that we're now at game 22-25, but you can see that it's staggered because not all the NBA teams are playing.
Especially with this cup, it's going to be all wonky here for the next
couple of years. I agree. So, yeah. But check this out, man. So game 19, okay, you still have a lead. You got 80.1 points, 75.3 points. Game 20, 50.9 points to 42.6. You're beating me now consistently. But look, dude, look at how many zeros I'm having, okay? I have, Sarr's now gotten hurt, okay? I have Edie who's gotten hurt. You have Cody Williams who's freaking out of the league right now.
You may not come back.
You know, I'm kind of like, my whole team is kind of carried by Alex Sarr and Stephon Castle. But it's like 2-5 right now for me right now, bro. Right? It's crazy. It sucks, right? Jamal Shedd is hardly playing anymore either. So I'm getting screwed, dude. Okay? And the only guy who's not really playing on your team right now is Filipowski because he's hurt.
Yeah, but he got 3.2 points on game 23.
But tonight, the Rockets didn't play Reed Shepard. Okay, he didn't play tonight. So he got a zero there today, right? But you can see, man, in game 23, game 22, you made up like almost 40 points just in that game alone. Yeah. Then you have in game 23, you're making up, it depends on what Sarr does, next game, but you're going to be close to, 30 points there. So it's like, it's crazy, man. So you've been making a serious comeback, but you can see like the totals for all of our teams right now. Right now, the leading point getter on my team right now is Stephon Castle at 565.
That's impressive. Yep.
Yeah. And then your guy is Reese Arshay at 541.
Yeah. But my guy would be third best on your squad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. See, but if Edie was playing, he'd probably be up there, man. So, But you can see your boy, the worst guy on your team was your second pick, and that's Reed Shepard. That's because he's playing for a very deep team.
Yeah, they're doing a lot better than I had anticipated. I thought he would get some opportunity, but
I know he came on a very deep team. But then my guy Cody Williams, dude, shoot, he might get zeros for the rest of the year, dude.
He might, dude.
I mean, everything
I'm reading,
and dude, this is Jalen Williams' younger brother. Okay. This is Jalen Williams of the Oklahoma City Thunder, younger brother. Come on, bro. You got to represent the Williams. Shit.
Yeah. Man, so, what's going on? He's playing more like you know who that is. People, that is.
Dude, that's it's ugly,
Shirley,
man. So.
Shirley.
But anyway, bro. All right. So that's it for that. Now you can go to the conference standings.
All right. Here we go.
So you can I'll go ahead and eliminate the banner so everybody can see. So I kind of already explained here kind of the point system, but this is going to be shifting on a week-to-week basis. But the light orange is the Western Conference. The light blue is the Eastern Conference. The actual rankings are on the left side of each of those highlighted tables. And then the projected ones are on the right for each of us. So you can see that In the Western Conference, you accumulated a total of 17 points with a maximum amount of points of 75 points, right? So that ratio, 17-75, is low, but it's still early in the season. But we want to get as close as possible to 75 if we want to be good in our predictions.
Yep.
But I picked up 6 points on you on the West. So I'm up 6 points ahead. But then on the East, you picked up on me on that as well. You picked up 2 points on me, but you can see that we're doing better on the East than the West. The West is kind of hard to predict because it's so deep, but the East is kind of easier to predict because, you know, it's kind of top heavy, right?
So, it is.
But you can see, like, if the overall score, if you scroll up a little bit, you have your score is at 44 points and I'm at 48, yep. Right? Now, the total, a perfect score would be 150 points. Okay, yep. That would be a perfect score. So, you know, this is going to be shifting on a week-to-week basis, but we're not doing that bad, bro, right? Honestly, I mean, the West, dude, this is going to be like shifting on a week-to-week basis. It is.
And, you know, I think, you know, the Wolves are starting to find a little bit of a groove. I think they're going to start moving up the charts.
I agree.
You know, the Lakers, I don't know, man. They've been struggling a little bit lately. LeBron's been looking old. But, you know, he does that every season. He spends like a month or two where he looks a little bit kind of older, tired, and then all of a sudden he drinks his magic juice or whatever the hell he does, and, you know, he comes back. So I wouldn't, you know, hold that too much to him, but we'll see how the Lakers do. Outside of that, you know, the Kings are disappointing, you know.
For sure. And
the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans and the Kings are just killing us. I thought the Pelicans were going to be significantly better than what they were. And
it's primarily because of their injuries, man. I mean, they got snake bitten.
But you know, I should have calculated that because I calculated Kawhi's absence, you know, and Zion.
And then Zion Williamson, yeah. But then DeJounte Murray, we didn't predict, you know, and then CJ McCollum, he missed time. Then Grant Theft Alvarado, he's missed a lot of time. Yeah. Then, you know, Brandon Ingram's missed some time. So it's like,
Well, hopefully they'll get some players back and start moving up the ranks here. But
I think they'll move up the ranks. They should, man. But the Suns, you know, they've been missing Kevin Durant. So, you know, you can see the impact that guy has on that team. But, you know, I think once the big three of the Suns come back, they're going to start moving up the ranks. I think that the Nuggets are going to continue moving up the ranks. The Clippers, I think, are going to be roughly around that. The Warriors, I think, are going to be roughly around that myself as well. They might slip maybe one or two, but that's it. I think the team showing that they're playing pretty good, but they make dumb mistakes. That's the problem. Yeah. They're just playing stupid sometimes, right?
I don't know what Kirk can do to kind of get them to believe it because he's been trying for years, and it's always a problem. Every season's a problem.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But still, I mean, they can eliminate the dumb fouls, right? And they can get better at their free throws. The turnovers, I think, is just going to be kind of part of the offense, the read and react offense. It just comes with turnovers, right? But as long as they limit the dumb turnovers.
Right? Well, I think today they would have won if Wiggins played. I mean, they would have won. Yeah.
I mean, but they isn't that incredible that they beat the Houston Rockets up until today, 15 games in a row?
It is.
That's it crazy.
When I look at numbers like that, you know, you figure you're due to lose one. I mean,
yeah, you are overdue, man.
The numbers
are
going to even out, you know, and they picked the wrong game to lose.
No, I agree, man. Yeah. Well, hey, man, dude, we did it, dude. We're at an hour and 3 minutes, man. We finished. That's amazing, dude. That's
you promised less than an hour, and
we did. We almost did it, man. But you know, we actually covered. You know, four topics. We went over the NBA Cup, the knockout round, and then the rookie ladder watch, which we're going to do pretty much on an occasional basis, probably on a monthly basis to kind of see.
Yeah, how, I think a monthly basis is good.
Yeah, it's probably right. From the analytics standpoint, how, you know, the rookies kind of measure up against the subjective rankings of NBA.com. That's kind of why we're doing this. And then we also, Twan and I, picked the quarter season picks for the NBA awards, the NBA end of season awards. And if the season ended today, who were our picks for, you know, MVP, most valuable player, defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, all these type of guys. We went over that. And then the last thing that we went over is the rookie watch. You know, we have this rookie. Yeah, we drafted players and then the conference seedings. We went over that. It's something that we're going to cover every time at the very end just because it's a fun segment. And we kind of to, you know, jab each other on, you know, who's winning and so forth. But exactly. That pretty much marks the end of our podcast. This is Buzzer Beaters. We are brought to you by grumblingsmedia.com. You can find us on any podcast outlet such as Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, pretty much anywhere you can find it. Not your Napster, bro, right? That one's dead. Right? You can find us on these outlets, but you know, our intent is to be here every Wednesday live But unfortunately, like I said earlier, the holidays are upon us, and we're probably not going to be live we're going to be live probably next week, but then after that, we're going to be probably reconvening live in January. But we're going to continue bringing you content up until the end of the year. So, but anyway, I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, and we are signing off.